Thanks. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 4th chapter. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you go to get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me that water, so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Where are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." This is the gospel of the Lord. Will you pray with me? May God grant that only the truth will be spoken here, and only the truth will be heard. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you thought that the gospel reading this morning was on the long side, let me warn you, there is more to come. The folks who were in charge of deciding on our weekly preaching texts many years ago did something rather unusual in the year when we predominantly read from the Gospel of St. Matthew. During Lent, they make us spend 4 Sundays reading through long, long, long chapters of the Gospel of St. John, through the entire stories, from their very beginning to their very end, stories that at other times of the year we only get in snippets. I can't tell you if this was someone's idea of a Lenten discipline when they drew up this lectionary, but after getting the entire Nicodemus story last week, and I do hope you remember it because you will need it this morning, we heard the entire woman at the well story today. And next week, we are in for the entire 9th chapter of St. John, the man born blind. And the week after, the entire 11th chapter of St. John, Lazarus of Bethany, first dying, then raised, and with an extended theological debate about it all. So for the next couple of weeks, we are in for the whole enchilada. Story, discussion, theological debates, everything that the Gospel of St. John has to offer us. And what a text for us right now this morning, on which social distancing is on everybody's mind. Jesus does everything to bridge the distance between him and this woman, not only sharing a conversation, but sharing the drinking utensils. It seems that COVID-19 was not on his radar yet. Now, as I alluded to earlier, the chapter of Jesus' conversation with the woman at the well outside of Sychar immediately follows the chapter of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And when you place them next to each other, they are a study in contrasts. If you remember the text from last week, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, furtively, making sure his visit would remain private, just between the two of them. Today's visit with the woman happens in broad daylight, around noon, John says, in the heat and the light of the day. Nicodemus comes to Jesus' quarters carrying the entire power and authority of his office. Member of the Sanhedrin, studied scribe who has the night off for advanced studies. The woman meets Jesus outdoors at a well in Samaria. He, waiting for his companions to return from town with something to eat, she to draw water as part of her daily chores, which she had not done at the customary time, early in the morning, when all her neighbors were out there. If Nicodemus was the embodiment of Judaism, She is the embodiment of all that Judaism had rejected. Her gender, her mixed blood nationality, and her life story that already includes more marriages than Elizabeth Taylor ever had. And yet, Jesus talks with her longer than he talks with anyone else in all the Gospels. Longer than he has conversations with any of his disciples. Longer than he talks to any of his accusers. Longer than he talks to any of his own family. She becomes the first person he reveals himself to. She is the first outsider to guess who he is and runs off to tell others. She is the first evangelist, John tells us, and her testimony brings an entire city to faith. Which is a surprising choice, all things considered. This woman was a triple outcast. As a Samaritan, she was a half-breed, not Jewish anymore, though Jewish blood was in her ancestry, but to the Jewish purists who insisted on immaculate bloodlines, she was worse than a pagan. And she was a woman. It is centuries before anything remotely resembling women's lib or Me Too movements come into play. In Jesus' time, the women couldn't even worship with men. Which might have been just as well, as their morning devotions included the prayer, "Thank God I'm not a woman." She's a Samaritan and a woman, but that's not all. She's also a woman with a tragic history. Married 5 times. Has she been widowed by an oldest brother, entrapped in levirate marriages? Was she divorced, or had she been abandoned that many times? Now she is living with someone who seems to protect her, but to whom she isn't married. How much bad luck can you have when your right to exist depends on a man to take care of you? The other women made their trips to the well in the morning when the air was still cool and had a little breeze to it. They would greet one another and talk about the news of the town. But she had become so much the subject of their conversations, someone they talked about, not to. And so she went to the well at noon, when it was all around less painful than to be subjected to their furtive glances and their gossip. How long had her life been that estranged from the others, that lonely? There is no word to that, but it seems it is not new to her to go for water at noon, when it is hot, very, very hot, and when no one else is out there. Except, of course, Jesus. When she first sees him, he could be anyone. But when he lifts his head and asks for a drink, she can see the olive skin, the dark eyes, the strong nose. He's not a half-breed. He's a Jew. But then what in the world is he doing here? Has he lost his way? Has he lost his mind talking to her? It was in violation to every rule on the books. For since the exile, the Jews had developed endless rules about what they may and may not do. She knows all that. And she knows that this man will break the law if she lets him sip from the bucket. And yet, he doesn't seem particularly fazed by it. So they talk about it. And while it is never clear whether they are on the same wavelength or not, the woman understands that she wants what Jesus is offering to her. Sir, give me this water, she says, which is a true reversal of fortunes when you think that she's the one with the bucket in her hand and he the one pining for water. Until there comes the crunch point. Go and fetch your husband, Jesus says. And she says, I don't have one. What will happen next? Will he turn away, blanch at the prospect that his thirst has made him forget all propriety, all rules he should have remembered, and turn his back on her? From living for 3 years in Texas, I think the two are engaging in a true Texas two-step. Whenever she wants to retreat, he steps toward her. Whenever she tries to step out of the light, he steps into it. He will not let her escape this conversation where she seeks to reveal less and less of herself, and he reveals more and more of himself. I know that the Messiah is coming, she says with some impatience, as though asked for a sign of her faithfulness. And he says to her, I am he. It is the first time that he has said this to another living soul. And it is in the middle of the day at a well outside Sychar to a woman he really shouldn't be talking to. But there, the triple outsider and the Messiah of the world stand face to face with no pretense about who and what the other is. Both stand there in the light at high noon. And for one bright moment in time, all the rules, all taboos, and history that separated them fall forgotten to the ground. It is this way, I believe, whenever we do come face to face with Jesus. It is this way when we are truly in his presence that all we are, all we have been, and all that will be are right there. It is in the Messiah's presence that we know who we really are, the good and the bad of it, all of it, including the hopes and dreams that have carried us to this point. And he shows us who we are by showing us who he is, by crossing all boundaries, breaking all rules, dropping all disguises, and speaking to us like someone we have known all our lives. Though it might be closer to the truth to say that it has been him who has known us all our lives. And now think back to Nicodemus. Everything that this woman has seen and felt in this conversation, Nicodemus had missed. Everything from the scandal at high noon to her excitement about the man who told her everything she had ever done. Trapped in his position, his literalism, and his worry about others might think, he slips quietly away into the night, making sure that no one saw or recognized him during his nocturnal excursion. But the woman, she runs back to her town in full daylight, telling everyone to come and see, and an entire city comes to faith. Now really, between the two of them, which one do you think had the better experience? Amen.